right now, just whatever it is, you can take a moment. You can take a moment to breathe, to set the compass for the day ahead. And in studio with me on a Tuesday, well, this is Radio Life and Style. If you've just stumbled upon it, you found the perfect place for your Tuesday. We've got the tunes, and we've got some stuff to chew on. Some really, I think, profound stuff. This is the Tuesday Mindful Moment. I'm Mike, and with me in studio, Helen Garner is back for another moment. How are you doing, Helen?
I'm good, Mike. How are you?
I'm super, man. We have these little chats, and I feel like immediately better about whatever is going on in life.
I know.
So let's dive in, because just last week, you sent me a little WhatsApp message with a couple of points on it that resonated so strongly, and they're grounded in this thing, this philosophy, this system that is having a bit of a moment. I keep seeing it pop up and like quotes on social media, and this word keeps resonating, and it's stoicism, stoic stuff. And you know, we know about finding the stoke, but today we want to find the stoic. Let's look at this thing, because it's old. It's an old philosophy system, but it's like it's still so relevant. Where does it come from, and why are people like finding solace and gravitating towards this thing in this crazy world we live in nowadays?
I think it's because it's a crazy world.
But it looks like it's always been, hey?
It has, yeah, absolutely. So it does come from the kind of the BC and the AD. Really close to around about 2,000 years ago, a little bit more, Stoicism. And it's the Greek and the Roman philosophers. So
we're going way back.
We're going way back. And you're going to, like, and like you said, you see the quotes. We see Seneca quotes all the time, you know. And Seneca was a Stoic.
Okay.
And then we've got Epictetus, who's my little favorite. And then Marcus Aurelius. And if you look at the emperor Marcus Aurelius, he was actually, he came to power in a really, really bad time. I mean, there was terrible wars. He took over like a really tricky sort of situation. His brother was murdered, so he had he didn't have an easy time, and he implemented or sort of got by with these sort of values.
So this is like it's a system of values, a kind of like a mental toolkit, maybe, if
yes,
you call it that. And look, if you do a little Google search, I mean, you know, often you get this sort of really simplified, watered down version of things. But according to the interweb, Stoicism is a school of Hellenistic philosophy, so ancient Greek philosophy. It teaches the development of self-control and fortitude as a means of overcoming destructive emotions. And the philosophy holds that becoming a clear and unbiased thinker allows one to get a bit of distance and to understand what's really going on. Now, is that essentially true, or is it a bit of an oversimplification in your understanding, Helen?
No, it is. It's very. And you know what's? You know, when we have English gets translated. I was explaining to the kids how lucky we are that English is our first language, because it's so confusing.
Yeah,
and we change the meanings so often. So if you say, I'm feeling very stoic today, you might be, everyone has that impression of the stiff upper lip,
yes,
you know, and of not expressing any emotions and kind of being cold.
Yeah.
And that's not what a stoic stands for. So they stood for the main sort of values that they stood for was wisdom, justice, courage, and moderation.
Who wouldn't want that in your life?
No, exactly. So focus on what you can control. That's their first one.
Okay.
But if you can do something, take action. So if it's out of your control, why are you bothering? You know, why are you staying up at night if it's out of your control?
Okay.
Take action if you can. Be virtuous. Lead by example. Diminish your ego. You're not entitled to anything. That's a big one. So drop things. Drop ideas and attachments. Exercise your will. Sure. Practice your resilience when faced with obstacles, failure, or tragedy. And be grateful.
Those I can't fault. I think any of those, if you could adopt them today and make them just part of your normal way of operating, you're gonna be well. You you'll be a Stoic. And
and your life will be transformed. And I think the reason I love Epictetus was because I'm going to totally paraphrase here, but I heard a story about how he made a quote about, why go to the gallows weeping and wailing? And I had the giggles because I could literally visualize like somebody being taken to be hanged or whatever to the gallows, and they like causing, and he's saying, why do that? So and you suddenly think to yourself, everything we do is a choice. Like, I can choose, you know, what do they say? You can make a heaven or a hell of something. It's your choice. And that just turned a light on for me. And so I started investigating these amazing, wow, amazing philosophers.
This and this stuff, it's so old. You know, you talk about going back to the you know, 3rd century BC, or you know, when it first, the roots of this thing can be traced that far back. And you think that life, if you dig into it, was as complicated and crazy and chaotic back then as it is now.
Yeah.
We've just got, you know, technology and, you know, layers of extra frosting, but people needed the stuff as much then as we need it now to navigate life. And you talk about resilience and the need for resilience, and you just look at the last 2 years of just here in KZN,
or even the last weekend.
The last weekend,
it's a lot.
How do you bounce back? How do you keep on keeping on? And you know you have to. This stuff I think is so valuable, for people to take on board, and it's just about broadening your mind and opening yourself up to this and thinking, well, how can I start to make these choices? How can I start to reframe things?
It's a reframe. It's not, because what you're looking at doesn't change. How you look at it, that's what changes.
Boom. I was reading this thing from a Navy SEAL, Jocko Willink. He's like also really big into the Stoics, and he was saying that he's got this thing that no matter what life throws at him, he'll always try and frame it with starting with the word good. It's like, okay, the budget got cut, good.
That's a challenge.
forces us to make the most of what we have. Okay,
yeah.
Like you didn't get the promotion. Good, more time to work on your skill set. If you can try and fool yourself, or not fool yourself, but if you can try to
fake it until you make it,
fake it until you make it,
100%. But you know, speaking of the army, I'm going to forget his name now, but it's John. I think it's John Stockdale. I've read his book. He was an army guy in Vietnam. He was shot down, and he was in the Hanoi Hotel, which was
infamous.
It's the infamous prison in Saigon, wasn't it? Saigon, but yeah, in Hanoi. And he ran the prison, and he ran the prisoners like a Stoic and like Epictetus. So they had structure, and they had hierarchy, and they understood where they belonged, and they understood truth and consequence. And I think it's about, for me, I don't want to come on the radio and say, you know, choose to be grateful, because I'm not blind. It's really hard. And there's some people out there that really are battling. I'm not trying to be glib.
Yeah.
But we can't sweep the kitchen floor unless you look at the dust. So you've got to sweep it. You've got to look at it. We can't pretend it away, or, you know, la, 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 la. It's not there. We can't suppress it, and we just have to look at it, and we have to then say, okay,
yeah,
I'm going to do the hard stuff. I can do the hard stuff. And I'm going to say good. So I'm going to find the positive, and I'm also going to do the hard stuff.
And you used an example. We chatted last week, and you were talking about being stuck in the line at, I think it was Home Affairs, and how you were able to, after a while, kind of find a teachable moment there. Because there's a certain, there's only a certain amount of influence you can exert. And beyond that, you're in Home Affairs, and the system is the system.
I'm at the whim of, yeah.
You just have to go with it.
Of the system.
And you can choose to be like really angry and miserable and sit in that line for however long it takes you to get to the front of that line and go through. Or you can make a choice to... What did you do? You took selfies
and that's exactly what Epictetus was. Why go to the gallows weeping and wailing? So that, I decided, and I actually, by the time I got in there, I was chatting and I was talking to the kids, And I heard, excuse me, excuse me. I looked up and the lady working at the computer said, be quiet, you are disturbing me. And everyone looked at me. I was like, oh, so people can't be happy here. This is not a happy place.
Well, you know, you got through it. That's important.
No, we got through it. And I've literally just got an SMS from my husband to say the passport's already. So the system does work.
You see. You see, and it's just about that. It's about if there's one little takeaway that we can give someone listening to this right now, what would you say? Is there a little life hack or a little trick or a little moment that people can bring their attention to?
I think the first one is focus on what you can control. There's some things that there's nothing we can do. So focus on what you can control. Let go of what you can't. It doesn't mean that you're bypassing, and take action where you can. It's almost acceptance and courage.
Mm. And we sort of touched on something last week's chat, and it's the last point you mentioned earlier on here. Be grateful for the stuff that you do have.
Absolutely. And for the breath in my body.
And if you start your day with just listing three things, just three things, that don't have to be all epic, you know, but as you say, something like just the fact that you're breathing, or that your home didn't slide into the ocean like people's did this last weekend. There's always something. And then
it forces us, the gratitude makes us look out of our own problems, and then we can help. And helping someone opens our heart even more. So if we have the capacity to help, I think we've got to. I think it's time.
Take action. Be virtuous. These are the points, the stoic points. And I'm digging this thing, the stoicism. We're finding it. We're finding the stoic.
You know what? And Marcus Aurelius, there's a beautiful book. And you can get it at Exclusive Books or at Bargain Books. I think it's like 120 Rand I bought. It's next to my bed. And it's called Meditations. And the meditation said during the war that he would write in a diary. And so it's not actually really well written because it's not coherent. It's he just kind of every night, dear diary kind of thing.
Yeah.
And so he writes something. So you can open the book and it makes you open a page and you read a paragraph and you are inspired. It's speaking to you. It's a beautiful book to put next to your bed. So like also turn your mind away from hard things and just on some inspiring stuff.
And a beautiful gift, I'm sure, to give to someone as well.
It is such a nice book.
There you go. You're learning stuff on a Tuesday. Helen Garner is giving you something to take with you on a Tuesday. And Helen, for those that want to connect and follow you and all of the things that you're involved in, I mean, predominantly if you go into Instagram, you're going to see the yoga and you're going to be like mind blown there. But there's so much more to you than
so many poses.
But Helen Garner Yoga on Instagram, hey?
On Instagram, absolutely.
Helen _Garner_yoga. You got it. And of course, now on a Tuesday, 9:15-ish, we're getting mindful. Helen, thank you. Have a terrific Tuesday.
Yay, Mike. Thanks. You too.
And we'll keep the stoicism. We'll keep stoking the stoic until next week. Here's Janet Jackson saying, whoops now. Almost 9:30 on a Tuesday. Turn it up.